This is a quiz. Now I'm going to tell you that the folks at 8 o'clock, they didn't do too good. They looked at me with like I was from outer space. I know you won't do that. So, in the first four chapters, now let me preface that for you. You had the prologue, yes, remember the prologue? In the beginning was a word, yada, yada, yada. Remember that? Then you had chapter 2, Jesus going around picking his disciples, had that powerful, powerful conversation with Nathan. Remember Nathan? Nathan? Nathan under the tree. Nathan? Yes? Chapter 3, Nicodemus talks to Nick. Remember the conversation with Nick? Remember God, chapter 3:16, for God so loved the world. Remember all that? Okay. Last week, woman at the well. Remember that? Woman at the well. And she goes back and she's, could this be the, you know? Okay, so the first four chapters of the Gospel of John are all about and oh, who Jesus is. Who Jesus is. Oh, yeah. Yes, the first four chapters. I think I said that several times each Sunday. This is all about who Jesus is. That the authors of the Gospel of St. John wanted to give to us, the reader, a gospel that's told us right from the very get-go who Jesus is. And so you have the prologue, you have chapter 2 with Nathaniel, you have Nick, and then you had the woman at the well. All those stories did one thing. It told the reader, this is who Jesus is. You remember that now, don't you? I know the 11 o'clock group, but boom, they'll get it just like that. Sure they will. Okay, chapters 5 to 10, or some theologians say you have to add 11 and 12, but who cares, whatever. So either chapters 5 to 10 or 5 to 12 are going to be all about what? Now, I know I haven't told you the answer to this, but we just read the text. We just read the text. And in the text was this one little line. I'm going to help you all I possibly can. It was verse something or other. 18. It was the last verse. It was the last thing you heard read, for heaven's sakes. And for this reason, here goes. Here's the clue. The Jews tried all the harder to kill him. Yes, kill him. So that means that chapters 5 through 10 or 12 or whatever it is all about conflict and controversy. Yes. Yes. And so 1 to 4 said to us, the reader, this is who Jesus is. Now, 5 to 10 or 12 is going to say, and this is how people dealt with who he is. This is how his own people dealt with him. This is what they said of him. This is how they acted with him. So these chapters are all about conflict, controversy, how people deal with him, and what Jesus did in response to the conflict and the controversy that came against him, because now people are discovering who he is. Whew. Make sense? Yes. Yes, it does. Okay, so chapter 5, we're going to talk about Jesus and the man, Jesus and the Jews, Jesus and the pool. The pool, because the pool is absolutely paramount to the story. He didn't go to the car wash. He didn't go to Winn-Dixie. He didn't go to Publix. He went to the pool. He didn't go on the golf course. He didn't take the boat out. He went to the pool. And the pool is incredibly important. So this is what we're going to look at. Those three things, then we're going to try and make sense out of it. Here we go. Jesus and the man. Been there 38 years. 38 years. And you know how many times a week he went? 7. 7 days times 38 years is a lot of trips to the pool. And the implication here is that this guy has got a very serious thing going on. The 38 years is a reference to the permanence of the affliction. Listen, it hasn't gone away in the first 38 years. You know what it's not going to do? It ain't going away the next 38 either. Not by going to the pool and wait for someone to stir the water so God can move on this guy. It's just not going to happen. Hasn't happened the first 38. Probably not going to happen the next 38. Whatever it is, he's got, it's pretty darn serious. He didn't break a leg, didn't break an arm, doesn't have an ingrown toenail. He's got something very, very serious going on, and it's had it for 38 years. Jesus said, you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And the guy doesn't really hear the question as much as you would think that he heard the question, because we can tell by his answer he didn't. To be made well in that question format for Jesus and for us today is to be made whole, complete, physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, all those aspects of humanity. In one of those areas, if there's something that is weak or just weak and ill, if you will, the question Jesus asked this guy and us is, do you want that area then to be made whole? Do you want to be complete? Do you want to be full? Do you want to be created the way God intended you to be created? Is that what you want? Well, this guy heard physical. He heard him ask him, do you want to physically be healed? That was his interpretation of that question. And instead of saying blatantly yes, the guy said, well, you know, I got no one to throw me into the pool. I show up early. I stay late. And every time the water stirs, someone beats me in. I got no one to help me. It's all on and on and on and on. Woe is me. No, Jesus, awful. And Jesus heals the guy. Now, Jesus didn't say to the man, poof, healed. Healed. Now, he didn't do that at all. He said, do you want to be made well? And the guy starts whining and moaning. And then Jesus says to him three things, three imperatives, three verbs that demand a response, an action-filled response. He said, rise, take that mat, and walk, and walk. Now remember, stick with me. He did not say to him, you are healed. Rise, take the mat, and walk. He just said, hit the road, buddy. Take that mat with you. Take it. You don't need it anymore. Take it. Rise. The response dictates courage, faith, and trust. Guy's been hanging out for 38 years. Every single day he goes to the pool, and he has his little blankie there or whatever his little thing is, and he flops down on that, or people lay him on that. And this guy shows up, it looks like a rabbi sort of, and he's watching everything going on at the pool, and this guy sees him, and he sees the guy, and he walks up and starts this conversation with the guy laying on the mat, and in that conversation, hey, do you want to be made whole? This guy's been trying to be made whole for 38 years. He's been to Shands. He's been to all the places. He's had all the tests. He's had all the blood work. He's had all the MRIs. He's had all that junk done to him. And nobody can make this guy whole. But Jesus shows up and says, hey, you want to be made okay? Do you want to get that thing fixed, whatever that thing is? And he doesn't tell him it is. He says to him, rise. So stick with me. For this guy, he doesn't know if he's healed or not. He doesn't know he's healed. But he hears the command to rise. And so the first thing he has to do is tell his little brain, start moving my hands and my torso and my legs to see if I can rise. He told me to rise, but I don't know if I can. So I got to try. And it takes huge courage, trust, and faith to be able to initiate that response of beginning to move out of where he was for 38 years into something totally new. Because he didn't know it was a guarantee he could do it. He just heard what Jesus said. Do it. And so it takes courage to begin to move. He said, pick up that mat. They would leave their mats there. They would leave the mats there. Listen, why would you take the mat home? You're coming back first thing in the morning. You leave your little mat laying right there. It's your space. It's your that little mat says, this belongs to Kip Younger. Don't you dare move my mat. Think, y'all are familiar with that with your pews, aren't you? Well, this little spot belongs to Kip Younger. Don't you, hey, listen, if Kip sleeps in, don't you touch that mat. Because as long as I leave that mat there, you know what that says? I'll be back. I'll be back in the morning. See ya. I'll be back in the morning. That mat, leaving that mat says, I'm not cured. I'm not healed. I'm just doomed to 38 more years. If I leave my mat, it says, I'm going nowhere. I'm cursed with this. I'll never be healed. I'll never be better. I'm going to leave my mat. Leaving the mat says I'm not cured. Jesus says, you need to pick up that mat because you ain't coming back here tomorrow, buddy. We're done with this nonsense. You're done. You're healed. You ain't coming. Listen, you don't need that mat tomorrow. Pick that sucker up. You take it with you. Throw it in the fire. Go do something to it because you don't need it anymore. You aren't coming back. You're done. Pick up the mat. Don't you even think about coming back here tomorrow. Because tomorrow is a new day, baby. Whole new day. Now walk. Get out of here. Get. That walk is to demonstrate a witness of wholeness. Completeness in this man. The text says he walked. He didn't walk. He didn't walk. He jumped, he skipped, he hopped, he raced, he ran backwards, he ran forwards, he was hopping over little rails like this. He was scooting all over. And the guy didn't walk home with his mat. He was racing and hopping and skipping. You know why? You know why? Because he hadn't raced, hopped, or skipped for 38 years. And suddenly this guy shows up, ask him a question. Do you want to be made well? He said, I don't know. Da-da-da-da-da. He said, get out of here. And he took the initiative to get out of there, taking his goofy little mat with him, and all of a sudden, holy smokes, I can do it. I can do it. I can do anything I want to do because he told me to do it. And I had the courage and the guts to try it. And it worked. Nothing's worked for 38 years. That worked. That worked. And he went hopping, skipping, running, jumping all the way home. You think his family was surprised to see him? What are you doing home so early? How'd you get home? Who drug you home? What you doing walking? Oh, they were shocked. They were shocked. And so were the Jews. Do you want to be made whole? Yes! He had a realized need, and he had everything to gain. What's this guy going to lose? Nothing. Look where he's at for 38 years. He's got nothing to lose. He's got everything to gain. So he runs off, and the Jews find him. They are the representation of the religious presence of the day. So I don't read into that Pharisees and all that stuff. It's just Jews is like a very general term in that text that says the religious righteous found him violating the Sabbath. And they say, hey, what are you doing carrying that mat? That's work. He's like, some guy told me to carry it. Who? I don't know. Just told me to carry it, so I'm carrying it. I'm walking. Did you see I was walking? I didn't walk for 38 years, baby. I'm walking today. They said, who told you to carry the mat? I don't care. You can walk. Who's this guy? What's his name? So Jesus runs into him. You know how the story went. He goes back and tells the Jews. Three main things initiated or sustained their Judaism. There was a lot of things it did. These are three big ones. Circumcision, the food laws, and that little thing about the Sabbath. And if you violated any of them, you're in huge trouble with the religious authorities. Huge trouble. Huge trouble. So they hunt down Jesus, and they say, hey, did you tell that guy to carry that mat? I did. And he also tells them this. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father, your Yahweh, my Father is always at work. You know what? He's working today. What day was it? Sabbath. He's working today. And I too am working. Now, they didn't want to hear that. Because healing on the Sabbath is doing works. And you can't make this guy better. Come back tomorrow and make him, but you can't do it today because the Sabbath is doing work. In that statement, he makes himself equal to God. Equal to God. That's what they heard. That this rabbi was saying, y'all got Yahweh, and I'm right up there too, and we're equals. We know that there's Yahweh, and there's Jesus, and they're one. They're not equals. They're one. I am you and you and me. Remember all that stuff? They're one. But the Jews don't hear that. They can't get that. And that makes sense that they wouldn't. But they hear him say that he's equal. And so he fails the Sabbath obedience, and he commits blasphemy by saying, Yahweh and I are just like this. We're just peas in a pod together. If he were to say to them in that moment, do y'all want to be made well? If they were to answer yes, it means they'd have to see him as Yahweh's son, which would be what? The Messiah. But the Messiah is not going to show up and work on the Sabbath. The Messiah is not going to break the rules, for heaven's sake. This guy broke the rule. He can't be much anything else but some kind of a traitor to Judaism. So we know he's not the Messiah. But if they said yes, they'd have to say you are. And if they say no, they just see him as some kind of lawbreaker, some kind of heretic, blasphemer, all those big words that say loser. That's the way they would see him. And so we know their answer was what? Nope. Don't want to be made whole. Thank you. Don't need it. Thanks. Because we got too much to lose. We are the religious authority. We're the big shots. We know everything about religion. If you want to know, just come and ask us. And if we decide to follow you, we lose that credibility. We lose that authority. We aren't seen with respect anymore. We can't sing in the choir anymore because we'd be seen as a bunch of losers following you. So we got too much to lose to follow you, man. So no, we don't want to be healed. We don't want to be made whole. Not by you. We're waiting for the Messiah to show up, and then we're all going to be made whole. So there's too much to lose here. Too much to lose. So y'all go back to the pool. And that's where we're going to go next. We're going to the pool. In Jesus' day, that pool was a place where the ill gathered together. Who came? The blind, the lame, all those folks. They all came together. A pool is where they all showed up together. The pool represents where Yahweh's grace was expected for healing. The expectation was that who's going to stir that water? Well, the angels or somebody's going to stir the water on behalf of Yahweh. And first guy in, first woman in, whatever, poof, they get healed. So it was a place where they expected the grace of God to be. And they believed that God would move at the pool via the angel who would stir the water. And so they had great expectations for the pool. It's where we all gather together. It's where His grace is. That's where we get healed. It's a great place. But if we say, well, what about the pool today? The one in your backyard, the one at your community center, what does that represent to us today? Same pool. Same concept. We say, well, that's where we would go to relax. So you finally get out of here sometime around 2:30, 3 o'clock today, and you go, you miss lunch, you're just beat to death, and you say, you know, I'm going to change my clothes and go jump in the pool. You don't have one, so you're going to slip over to your neighbor's house and jump in their pool. You're going to go and hope they don't notice you, and you're going to what? You're going to relax. You're going to chill out. You're just going to be refreshed by the coldness. The coldness of the water. Water's only about 98 or 100 degrees, but you're going to be refreshed by the coolness of the water. And you might have some of your friends. You might say, hey, my neighbor's out of town for the weekend. You want to come over and join us at the pool? And so you might have your friends come over, and you might lay around and get tan. You do a lot of things at the pool. Being at the pool can also be a very individual, self-centered place. Now, self-centered is not always bad. So don't hear that negatively. Hear that positively. You want to go to the pool, and you want to be alone by the pool where you refresh, you relax, you chill out. You and God. Just you and God. Kind of a self-centering place to be with God. Not a negative thing, a good thing. It can also be a social place because the neighbors aren't home and you are using their pool, so you invite your 50 best friends over. And so now it's a big pool party at the neighbor's house. And it's a big social thing. And that's cool. Everybody's having a good time and you're all chilling out and having fun and telling stories. That's what the pool is for us. And the reality of it is that today's pool would be all of those. Would be all of those. The pool for today would be those places where we go ourselves. It'd be that place where the ill gathers together. It'd be that place where people come seeking their healing. It'd be that place where we believe God to be and God moves. It'd be all those places. But to be all those places, then we say the pool must be what? What is the pool then? Now, the first two questions were hard. This one's easy. What's today's pool?
The church.
Who said what? Did someone say that?
Yeah.
Church, the church is the pool. You're in the pool. You've come to the pool this morning. How's it feel? Great. The air's on. It's not as cold as it should be, but it's still on. And it feels a little bit better. It's better than being outside. So you're in the pool. You're with your friends. Some of you are just kind of sitting alone, kind of thinking and meditating and praying. This is where the ill come. The ill come here. The ill come here every Sunday morning. This is where we come expecting the grace of God to move into our lives. This is where we come expecting Yahweh to work in our lives by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in the name and the honor of Christ. This is where we come to be individuals. This is where we come and talk with our friends. This is it, man. This is the pool. This is it. You're in the pool. You didn't have to bring your suits. You got your clothes. You're dry, but you're having a great time in the pool. That's what this is. This building, this church, this gathering, all of you are the pool. You're all the pool where all these things happen. But to make it so, then everybody has to answer the same question. Do you want to be made well? Yeah. That's why some of us came. To be made well. That's why we came. To be made well. Some of us are already well. We just want to come and be with those who want to be made well. For heaven's sakes. Yes. Yes. Don't you know that deep down in that dark, goofy place that each of us have, where we think no one knows, not even God, there are two options to this question. We can be like the Jews, and we can say, oh, I don't know. There's an awful lot to lose. They might throw me out of the choir. If I told them what was really wrong with me, they might throw me out of the choir. I like in the choir. My friends are in the choir. They may not let me come in and sit in my favorite spot anymore if they really knew what was wrong. They really knew what I wrestled with. They may not open a door for me anymore. Nah, I got too much to lose, man. I don't want to be made whole. I'm okay just coming and hanging out in the church for a while. I'm okay. But I don't want to be made completely whole because I think the cost is too high. I got too much to lose here. I'm okay the way I am. I just love God and I love this and I don't want the two to ever go away, but I don't want that to go away and I'm not willing to give that up to have more of that. No, there's too much to lose here. I'm okay just the way I am. Just leave me alone. Don't ask me if I want to be made whole. Don't ask me that. Or we could be like the man. We have everything to gain. Everything to gain. Everything to gain. There's no loss. The only thing we would lose is what takes us back to the pool every day for 38 years. That's what we would lose. What takes us back to that ugly little mat. Every day when we wake up and every night when we lay our little heads down to go night-night and we think about that mat, we could lose it. We could lose it. And because we have everything to gain. Everything to gain. You got so much to get rid of, maybe. You got so much to gain. Every individual choice leads to a fulfillment of the desires of God. You become active participants at the pool. And we all just get in the pool together. And you know what happens after that? Sometimes we'll find the courage to share what our illness is. Maybe not. But we'll come to the reality that even though I think I can hide it, God already knows. He already knows. That's why he shows up here every morning at 8, 9:30, 9:30, and 11. He's in here waiting for us. Because this is the pool. And every day when we walk through those doors, we got our cool little bulletins and we're singing the songs, we're doing all that kind of stuff. You know what that spirit is saying to us? Hey, this could be the day you get healed. This could be the day you're going to become whole and complete. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made whole? That's what he asks us when we come to the pool. Do you want to be made whole today? Do you want me just to touch a part of your life that you've told me for so long to keep my hands off of? Do you want me to touch it for you today? I've already known about it for years. I'm ready to touch it. You ready to get whole? You want to get rid of that mat? I'm not telling you to quit coming to church. I'm not going to go there. But not coming back to the pool. We come back every week. Every week. Every week. That's the question. Want to be made whole? Only one person can answer that. You. And here's how you answer it. Answer it right in here. Just answer it right in here. Right in here. I don't think you have to make a big verbal presentation. I don't think you have to fall out in the aisles. I don't think you have to do anything. But answer it in here. Just answer it in here. Yes. Kidding me? I've had this for 38 years. Tired of it. Tired of it. I want to get rid of it. I want to get rid of it today. I want to get rid of it today. Tired of carrying this mess around. Getting rid of it today. That's it. I'm done. It's today. It's out of here today. And it can be gone. And it can be gone. Father, we love you. We thank you for a man with no name at the pool, waiting for us to join him there, for heaven's sakes. Because he is us and we are him. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for that question. Thank you that by his stripes we are all healed. Thank you for your spirit. Thank you for loving us. Thank you that your greatest desire for us is will allow you to make us whole. Whenever we come to the pool, we can come whole. We love you and we thank you. Father, if there's any here today who carry a burden in their heart to be made whole, you already know the burden. Our prayer is very simple. Let your spirit encourage them to pray sometime in this day and allow them to take up their mat and throw it away. We pray for them. We pray for all of us. And we do so in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.